This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of the Euro Trip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before partying the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast with me, James.
Me, Rob.
And this week we are chatting all about the art of the Eurovision revamp.
Yeah, it's a controversial thing in the Eurovision community, isn't it? To revamp or not to revamp? We've seen many of the class of 2024 undergo a bit of a revamp with their entries this year, changing things up a bit to potentially improve their chances at the contest in Malmö. Well, we're chatting to two of them on the podcast today.
Yes, we will speak to Aiko, who is representing Czechia. She joined us on the podcast back in January to talk all about ESCZ and actually being chosen to represent her country. Well, she is back this week to talk about her revamp, which comes out later in the week. And I have been lucky enough to hear the revamp before anybody else. And I have to tiptoe around the subject without giving too much away in the chat I have with Aiko herself.
Also joining us on the podcast today, someone who has been with us before, especially as part of Melfest Monday, is the prolific songwriter, the Eurovision winning songwriter. Am I right in saying that, James?
Yes, indeed. She is a Eurovision winning songwriter, Linnea Deb. She's won Melody Festival and 4 times now. She's a bit of a stalwart of that competition and has had numerous songs in the Eurovision Song Contest as well. She's written Unforgettable for Marcus Martinez this year. She's also been on the revamp of Malta's song. So that's Sarah Bonici with Loop. So she'll tell us all about how she managed to get herself on the revamp of that.
And on today's episode, we have a very exciting announcement involving us here on the podcast. You can be part of it as well. And we'll tell you what on earth I'm talking about in just a few seconds' time.
So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
So then, James, I don't think we should mess around. I don't think we should make people wait. Shall we reveal our big announcement? Shall we do it?
Yes, you often want to beat around the bush and kick the can down the lane, but yes, get straight into it.
Kick the can down the lane as opposed to the road.
You know me, I'm always getting my analogies and stuff like that mixed up, aren't I?
Right, hold on. This calls for a little bit of special music, so hold on. You know I love this. So, I am pleased to announce, everybody, that we are going to bring you, in Malmö, the Eurotrip live!
Yes, this is hugely exciting. Off the back of our very first live event in Liverpool last year, we thought, we had fun, you had fun, let's just do it again.
Absolutely. So, coming to you from the Eurovision Village, a really, really special venue, actually. So this is Morriscan, which is a really historic venue in the heart of Folkets Park, where the Eurovision Village is this year. That is where you can find the Euro Fan Cafe, a stalwart of all Eurovision Song Contests. If you're a fan, you've been going for a few years, you'll know this. The Fan Cafe, a great place to hang out, and also loads of brilliant events happening as well. And that includes on Thursday, May the 9th, time to be confirmed, you can find me and James, a whole host of guests, chatting all things Eurovision, previewing. At that point, of course, it will be semi-final number 2, everything that's happened in that week so far, and plenty of other stuff besides. And you can be there.
Yeah, as I say, this is really exciting for us. We had so much fun, didn't we, for our live event in Liverpool last year. For our board game afternoon, it was something different, it was something new, it was something fun for us. And we know so many of you came along and so many of you wanted to be there. But with it being such a small venue, we couldn't get you all in. This year, we're in the Eurofan Cafe within the village. It's a bigger venue, more room for you all to come along.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we are supersized this year. It's bigger, it's better, it's going to be really, really exciting. So there are no tickets for our event specifically. You have to get a ticket or a wristband, I think it is, for the Euro Fan Cafe. And if you want to find out how to do that, you can get a ticket, I think, later on, a bit later this month. You can get tickets for specific days, but you can at the moment buy a ticket for the whole week. There's some amazing events happening, which we'll find out a little bit more about later on the March to Malmö. But we'll pop a link in the description for today's episode. Click that, get your tickets, and then come on down and see us for the Eurotrip Live on Thursday, May the 9th.
Time then for all the latest news from the world of Eurovision. And now we're at a point, I'm trying to remember, you used a phrase last year, Rob. Do you remember this time between national final season ending and Eurovision itself? Can you remember the term you used?
I can't, no. We're betwixt, aren't we? We're pre-party season and we're post-selection season. So we're in the hinterland.
Maybe it was hinterland, because I recall me not knowing what that meant, but it sounded good.
Yeah, the Eurovision hinterland. I like it. It sounds like mysterious and fun, but also like there'd be, what are those things that blow across sort of towns in the American Midwest? You know what I mean?
Yeah, tumble.
Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed. some tumbleweed in the, consider this podcast, the tumbleweed in the Eurovision hinterland.
Wow. Doesn't really sell it, does it?
I don't need to. If they're listening, they're here already.
Well, anyway, news. And there isn't a great deal, actually, because we are in the hinterland, as you say. But I've picked out a few that I thought would be worth mentioning. First of all, in Greece, in Greek media over the last few days, there's been, I think an unsubstantiated story, but something fun to mention at least, that the Greek performance this year in Malmö will be filmed all in one shot, the entire 3 minutes. There will be no camera changes at all. As I say, just a room at the moment, not confirmed. But that's quite brave.
Isn't it? And I can't quite work out how that would work, given what we know about the stage in Malmö as well. Because obviously we know that the audience are almost entirely surrounding the stage in the arena. So if you've only got one camera shot, how's that going to work? I don't know. I'm excited to see it.
I was going to try and do a clever tweet the other day saying, oh, well, never mind. This isn't anything new. Lissa Sia did this in 1956. But I watched the performance and I think there was like three camera cuts between like only two static cameras. So maybe this is the first time it's ever happened.
You were trying to be smart, trying to be clever, and it didn't pay off for you for a change. Well done, at least, though, for checking your facts before you went out and put that on social, because I wouldn't have done, and I would have just looked like an idiot.
Well, speaking of checking facts, you put me on the spot last week, and I just sort of ignored it because I didn't know, but I've decided to check for you. You said, when did Germany last open the grand final?
Oh, yes. Go on.
Well, they have. They've opened the final twice. They first did it back in 1966. And then the second time, and most recently, was back in 1972. So yeah, Germany.
So not recently at all.
Not recently at all. What's that? 52 years since they last opened the final. So well overdue. We don't know, of course, it's not going to happen this year either.
Well, here's a stat for you then. Here's a stat, and I want you to maybe do your homework for next week.
Okay.
Is there a country that have never opened the Eurovision Grand Final? And I appreciate there'll be some countries that haven't done Eurovision for sort of as long as the others. So, you know, is there a country that hasn't ever opened? And also, is there a country that has sort of gone the longest time without opening? There you are. There's your homework for next week. I don't know why. I don't know if anyone else cares about this, but I appear to have asked you the question. But yeah, when you say recently, yeah, really not that recently since Germany opened. What was it, 72?
1972, yeah, it was Mary Roos, and they finished third.
ABBA was just a glint in their music manager's eye back then. Talking of ABBA as well, of course, we now know that they are coming to Malmö. I mean, they are, but they're not. So ABBA World will be coming to Malmö for 2 weeks, inviting Eurovision fans and ABBA fans, old and young, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Waterloo. So this is basically a special pop-up coming from the people behind the ABBA Museum. So really, really exciting. So you can go to that in Malmö. You can see original costumes, gold records, other great items. And there will be an ABBA quiz. Very, very exciting. And loads of other ABBA stuff as well. Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia the Party. You can't move for ABBA in Malmö. Very, very exciting.
But the big news is revamps. We've got a couple as we
mentioned. Revamp season. I said it was Hinterland season. It's revamp season. That's what it is.
Revamp season. Well, shall we talk to Linnea Deb? She is someone who's been on the podcast a few times before. She's a bit of a legend of Melfest in Sweden, and she's won that competition 4 times now as a songwriter and has won Eurovision itself back in 2015, of course, with Monzelmalove. Well, this year, she's got 2 songs in Eurovision. First of all, she's written Unforgettable for Marcus and Martinez. And last week, it was revealed that she was one of the songwriters on the revamp of Loop, Sarah Bonici's song for Malta this year. So let's find out all about both of those songs and the songwriting process as we listen to my chat with Linnea Deb. Linnea Deb, welcome back to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm perfect. How are you?
I'm very good. Nice to speak to you again. We're chatting 1 week, 7 days after the Melfest final. Has it all sunk in yet?
No, I don't think it has sunk in yet. I'm working on it.
Because just what an amazing moment for you as a songwriter, because we've spoken to you on the podcast before. We know how much it means to you. Not just Melfest, yeah, but Eurovision as well. It must be personally such a satisfying moment to get another Melfest win.
Yeah, to me, I feel there was an achievement that was almost like unreachable. And now since someone told me, like, I'm the first woman ever to have 4 wins in the Melody Festival, I felt so honored. Like, what? Really? And so I hope that I can make... inspire other women to come into the music scene also, like as writers wise.
Is that something that is quite important to you, to be able to inspire other women and inspire other female songwriters to get themselves seen on that Melfest stage?
Of course, it's a big thing for me. And I have two daughters myself. I think women in general need more time in all aspects of music and life and in general.
Let's chat about the song, Unforgettable. Marcus and Martinez, they're such a great pair, aren't they? What are they like to work with?
It's such a pleasure working with them. They're so, like, they know exactly what they want. They're very easygoing and just beautiful people.
What was it like to write the song then for them in the studio? Take us back to that moment where you're in the studio, you're writing the song, you're putting some lyrics together. Take us back to that moment there when you're actually writing the song itself.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of pressure because they came a second the year before. Mm. There was a lot of pressure on all of us, but especially them, of course, to have this upcomer second song. Like, we were all very pressured to make something good. But I think we all had this mindset, like, let's just have fun. Let's not think about it too much. And we had a lot of fun. And they were very involved with making the song again, also with their. But we just, every time we have a session, we have so much fun. So it was just a moment of having fun. And as soon as it all was written and recorded, we all felt like, okay, maybe we did it, did we? I think we did it. And we played it for their manager and their daddy, of course, and they were also mind blown. So it felt like a good receipt.
Because it must be hard. Like, for some songs you write, you'll think, okay, that's a great song, really happy with that. But then with songs like this, is there another feeling you get when you think, okay, we've done something really special this time?
This is my issue, I think. I never ever feel like, okay, now I've did a really, really good song. I don't ever get that. I mean, I think Joy, my colleague and ex-husband, when we did Heroes for Monster Mulab, it was the same thing. Like, he said, oh, this could win. I think this is a huge song. And I didn't feel that. I was like, yeah, it's a good song, yeah. So I never, you know, because every song I write is like a baby. And you can't pick a baby. You can't pick either one over the other one, you know? So I don't know. It's really hard for me to do that.
And what do you as songwriters bring individually to this song? So it's you, Joy, you've mentioned, and then Jimmy Joga, as well as Marcus and Martinez. What do you all bring individually to that song? Is it hard? I was going to say, is it hard to describe? Is it, because obviously it's a huge group effort.
No, I think in this case, maybe I did more lyrics, maybe. And some parts of the song also, like the ending, maybe melody wise and of course harmonies and like hooks and things. But Jimmy was very involved in the melodies, of course. He's a genius. And Marcus and Martinez also, like, it's us three mostly just sitting, like, talking about, so what's the topic? What should it be about? And Joy is the master producer, of course. He's like all in his computer. Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, oh, yeah, 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 I like that, yeah. But it varies from song to song, so it's very, it can look very different.
And can you remember the feeling in the green room during the final? I watched it back just before we spoke, and you can just see the pressure and then the release of emotion afterwards when you find out that you've won. Like, can you remember that feeling inside?
Absolutely. We were all feeling so much pressure. The guys were almost out of their bodies. Yeah, so was I. Yeah, it was a great moment. And also, you know, for me, it's my career in a way, you know. And I felt like, okay, so if I can actually win this year, then I can keep going. I can keep doing this. You know, I'm in the middle of moving between apartments. It's a lot of, you know, we don't make a lot of money. So this was really, for me, I just broke down. I was so super happy.
Hello,
it's worth people listening right now to go back and watch it, because just the emotion on your face and Jimmy's face and yeah, Marcus Martinez.
I couldn't stop crying. And when we were invited, yeah, they wanted us to come on stage the last 20 seconds. And Jimmy was like almost hitting me. He's like, get it together now, get it together. Because I was like, oh. He was like, get it together, we're happy, you're happy.
Well, not just one song in Eurovision this year, Linnea. We've got two songs in Eurovision this year. Tell us about Sarah Bonici and Loop.
Yeah, you know, so I went to Malta for a camp last year that was held by the Maltese Broadcasting and the head of delegation, Gordon Bonello. And so I was invited there. We did a few songs, and one of the songs made it to the Maltese selection for Eurovision with Ryan Healy. It's a song called Karma. And so, yeah, I got to know a lot of great artists down there. I have to say, I was amazed by how many great singers they actually have. I think they made an audition for the people who were there, like, so that it would be top notch, and they were. And so I met Sarah also, became good friends with her. And yeah, so she, actually, it was Kevin Lee, he's one of the writers of the song. He reached out to me and asked if, after they won, he was like, okay, so Linnea, do you know, we want to revamp the song. Do you know any good producers? And I was like, duh. So yeah, I had a few producers in mind, but Sarah and Kevin and the other songwriters, Lire, Miki, John Emil, Kevin Lee, and Atticus, they also agreed on Joy. So Joy got the job, I guess. And I was sitting in the studio with Joy, and we were just playing around with hooks, you know, trying to elevate the chorus of it. And so I just came up with stuff. And so that's how I became a songwriter too, of the song. And yeah, it was on loop. All the songwriters liked what we did. And Sarah came to Stockholm, and we had a session and recorded her. And here we are, and that's how it came about. Oh my God, you got me all.
Hard to work on a revamp, because of course, you know, some other songwriters have written it, she's performed it already, and then you get asked to sort of revamp it. Is it hard to sort of put your own style on a song that somebody else has already worked on?
Actually, it is. It's one of the hardest thing you can do, because you have to have respect for the songwriters and for the song. I mean, it's the song that people already chose. I was trying to be as respectful as I can, but still trying to elevate it. And, you know, she's very decisive. She knows exactly what she wants and what she doesn't want. So it was a back and forth job. But I think we ended up with a really, really good solution and a great chorus and song. So I'm really happy about it. I think she is just amazing for being so young and, you know.
What is she like to work with? Because, you know, we've seen her on stage. You've worked with her in the studio. She comes across really confident. It looks like she really understands the music she's performing.
You cannot tell her to sit down or stand up. She does what she wants. in a good way. I mean, she's not a diva at all. She's the sweetest person on earth. But she knows what she wants. And for me as a songwriter, that's a very good thing. Then, you know, I just follow her lead and what she wants. And it's a beautiful, what do you say?
Like relationship.
Beautiful relationship, yeah.
Have you had a chance to listen to any other Eurovision songs this year? Or are you waiting to listen to them all in one go?
What do you think?
I think you must have.
not as many as I wish, though. Like I said, I'm in the middle of moving between apartments, and I've had a cold and everything, working with Loop and such. So, yeah, I've listened to a few. Have you?
Of course I have. Because I asked that, of course, because you will be at Eurovision this year for the first time in a while. You had a couple of songs in 2021, but I think because of COVID, you weren't there. So are you going to be in Malmö this year? Are you excited to go?
Of course I'll be there. I can't wait. The funny thing is, the first time I ever won for Sweden was with Robin Stjernberg and a song called You. And it was exactly the same scenario. It was the year after Loreen. And it was in Malmö. So here we go again.
History is repeating itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm coming.
Between now and Eurovision, what happens? Like, are you straight back in the studio and writing more music? Like, what's the plan? Of course, you're moving apartment and all that sort of thing as well, but...
Moving, but then I'm going to camps again, going back to Malta and a few other camps. I'm going to Spain to write some. And yeah, I do have sessions, but I'm taking it pretty cool before Malmö, because you need that, what do you say, zen.
Yeah, you need to be in a good headspace for Eurovision, don't
zen
you?
Mode. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, Linnea, it's been great to chat, and hopefully we can catch up again in Malmö for Eurovision.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Linnea, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back then to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, and the point at which I put James on the spot once again as I see the panic in his eyes. James, how long until the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest?
Oh, I thought the pressure you put on me was how many countries hadn't opened the grand final, and I was just opening the spreadsheet to find out how many days until the grand final. It is 48 days, I think. No, that's not right. No, 50.
No.
Oh man. Go on.
I think it's 40. 50. I think it's 52. 51
it
or 52.
It is 52. It 52. Is 52. Yes.
So it's already less than 50 days in that case to the start of Eurovision 2024. So less than 50 days till semi one.
Yes, indeed. And of course, we have to remember 53 days until it's all over.
You need to get back in your box and stop saying this on the podcast. Are you going to do this when we're in Malmö? It's going to be like Wednesday in Malmö, and you're going to be like, well, come Sunday. All over.
It's all over for another year, whatever you want.
I'll be having none of that negative energy whatsoever. But yeah, so not long. Not long at all. And James, I think we should be expecting potentially a bit of news this week if we haven't got it already by the time that people are listening to this.
Yeah, I think the running orders should be out for the semi-final soon. Last year, it was this week, the equivalent of this week. So yeah, I think we shouldn't be too far away from that. And I know... we've been speculating online of who's going to open and who's going to close those shows.
Absolutely, we have, yeah. So hopefully not long to wait for that at all. Have to say a big thank you to those of you who have been in touch as well. So we've got Aiko, she's back on the podcast in a minute, and also we'll be finding out more about the brilliant programme down at the Euro Fan Cafe shortly on the march to Malmö. But yeah, thank you to all of you who have been in touch, because, James, people have been buying us coffees and... most excitingly, people have been spotting Eurovision songs in the wild.
Yes, I'll come to that one in a moment. But a quick thanks, first of all, to Johannes, who bought us a coffee over on buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. You can do the same if you want to say thanks to us for the podcast and chip in a little bit of money to help us do what we do. Johannes bought us a coffee and said, just discovered this podcast and have listened to a few episodes. I'm going to Malmö for Eurovision and I am a big fan. Thank you for a great podcast. As well, thanks to Chris as well, who bought us a few coffees too.
Chris is the showbiz listener who often listens in LA.
Oh, is he? Is he the LA listener?
Indeed. Well, maybe there's more. Maybe there's more than one.
Oh, I think there is more. I think there possibly is. He's not the one and only.
And talking about listeners from around the world. I think we have an international Eurovision Song in the Wild, don't we?
We do, yes. Thanks to Amy, who emailed us, hello@eurotrippodcast, said, hello, gentlemen. I wanted to share a little Eurovision Song in the Wild moment that happened to me here in Prague. I should start by saying that Czechia is not the most Eurovision-hyped country in the world, and as an American expat, I have very few Czech friends with any interest in the contest at all. Well, welcome, Amy. You are within the Eurovision community here, at least. Amy goes on to say, I was out for lunch with friends at a very typical Czech restaurant. As we were exiting the restaurant afterwards, suddenly my boyfriend says, Amy, listen! And what to my surprise, but the kitchen staff were blaring Queen of Kings by Alessandra. This has become one of my go-to karaoke songs. So, of course, we stopped and had a delightful little dance party there outside of the restaurant. Love the pod. And you're welcome to come back to Prague for a visit. Well, thanks, Amy.
Oh, thanks, Amy. No, we'd love that. We would absolutely love that. And Amy, of course, will be fascinated with the chat we've coming up shortly with Aiko, of course.
Yes, indeed. But first, shall we do this?
Here we go. It is time for the second edition of the March to Malmö. So we're doing this every week between now and the Eurovision Song Contest as we try and tell you a little bit more about what you can expect from this year's Eurovision host city. Now, on the podcast last week, we found out more about what's been going on in Malmö as they prepare to host the contest. And we got a brilliant word, an insult, if you will, that may come in handy for your trip to Malmö. Or, I mean, feel free to say it at home if you want. If you're watching the contest at home, you can use the word too and just, you know, really encapsulate what it's like to insult a Swede in Sweden, or specifically in Skåne, where Malmö is, of course. Listen back to last week's edition if you haven't already to get that. But yeah, on the March to Malmö, as well as improving your Swedish lexicon, we'll also be telling you what you can get up to when you're in the host city. And James, we've already mentioned it, our really exciting event this year, the Eurotrip Live, is happening inside Morriscan, a brilliant venue inside the Eurovision Village, where you can find the Euro Fan Cafe.
Yes, just to remind you, of course, we'll be there on the Thursday of Eurovision week for a very exciting event, and hopefully we can see plenty of you there.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant to see you there. Remember, link, waiting by tickets in the description for today's episode. But for the March to Malmö today, I thought I'd chat to the man behind the whole thing. So his name is Rick Jacobs. He set up the very first Euro Fan Cafe, which has become a stalwart of all Eurovision since. The very first one was also in Malmö back in 2013. Ah. Yeah, so we're going back to the site of the very first Eurofan Cafe. So yeah, he's called Rick Jacobs. He's the man that's been putting together the brilliant programme of events that's going to be taking place in Malmö, including the Eurotrip Live. So here's what happened when I caught up with him to find out more about what's going on and what we can expect come Eurovision. Well, Rick, welcome to the March to Malmö.
Thank you so much. It's an honour to be here.
Rick, our listeners, I'm sure, will already be thinking, that doesn't sound like a Swedish accent. So whereabouts are you from?
I'm like a mutt. I'm a bit of a mess. I'm an American citizen, but I haven't lived in the US since 1992. So I guess over the last 32 years, I consider myself much more European in general. I spent many years living in London. I was there for 17 years living in the UK. And since then, I've moved between a few other countries. I lived in France for a while, in the Netherlands for a bit, and now I live in Sweden.
What took you to Malmö in the first place? Because, of course, we are talking to you on the March to Malmö. We want to find out a little bit more about this year's Eurovision host city. So what drew you in?
It was about as romantic as a Hallmark Christmas movie, actually. I was dating a Swedish guy, and I got an introduction to the city many years ago. And Malmö was a very different city. This was around 2000, 2001. They were still recovering from a really big crash in the 90s. All of their industries kind of dried up here. And it wasn't a city that people wanted to move to. If you told a Swede, I'm moving to Malmö, they would say, why? What's the reason you're going there? So it's completely transformed in the last years. Even if you've been, if you came to Malmo in 2013, you're going to see a very different city. They've done just a fantastic job making this a very livable place. It's always been good, but it just gets better every year. So many great things to do. There's so much new culture and activities, and population is growing at a good pace. It doesn't feel too crowded. It just feels like it's the right size for everybody. And I've worked here working in the theater industry and working in television and advertising as well. My background is as a theater director, and I do big events like this. So I worked on the very first Eurofan Cafe in Malmo in 2013. So this is kind of a homecoming. Some of the same crew from 2013 is involved with this. So we're using our memories, what worked and what didn't work, to try and make for a better event. And plus it helps that I'm a giant Eurovision fan. So I'm not just a random producer. I actually, you know, matching the spectacle to my Eurovision fantasies. Let's put it that way.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about what the Eurofan Cafe is, I guess, in the first place. You're the perfect person, obviously, to talk us through this, because obviously people will have heard of the Eurovision Village and Euroclub, but what role does the Eurofan Cafe play in all of this? And what can people expect sort of coming down? What kind of vibe can people expect if they're listening to this and then coming down to Malmö?
Okay, I'll explain a little bit about this year's Eurofan Cafe. It's a little different than the 2013 edition. It's in the same building. The building is, the official name in English is the Morisca Pavilion. And it was basically a dance hall. It was open around 1910, even before radio was popular. There were live orchestras here that had music. And it was always meant as a building to entertain the masses that didn't feel they belonged to the more bourgeois parts of Malmö. The spirit of this place is one that they're always willing to try new ideas. So it's basically Eurovision in a little bit of a nerdy alternative way. That's what Eurofan Cafe is all about. Working very closely with the organizers of Euroclub, which is at this amazing venue this year, Malmö Live, and also the Eurovision Village, which is outside of Morisca. So the park surrounding Morisca will be the Eurovision Village, and we're right in the middle of that with a separate concept. Eurofan Cafe is, I basically, when I've had to summarize it, it's more like a comic con for Eurovision fans. You know, all your nerdy Eurovision fantasies can come true here. I think that the main way to summarize why Eurofan Cafe is different than the other programming is we're not part of the official programming, so we receive no funding from the city, no funding from the EBU, no funding from SVT, our state broadcaster. It's self-funded. We're completely on our own. And taking a big risk with this, but it will pay off because we've already sold a majority of our tickets. We still have a few left, but not so many. And we're offering 10 days of entertainment instead of the 6 or 7 that most of the city is offering. If you're a fan, you're going to have a great time. We have quizzes, giant interactive quizzes. We have talk shows where you can get up close and personal with some of this year's artists and some legacy artists as well. We're doing an all song, like a sing-along event, and a lot of other surprises. Later this week, we're going out with a press release that will announce most of the program. And then we'll start linking to, you know, letting the public know what artists are appearing and what you can expect when you get here. We have both afternoon, evening, and late into the night events. A lot of our big events will happen after either the rehearsals or the shows at the arena. And we're literally 3 minutes from the arena by train and then a 10-minute walk from the train station to Morisca. So it's a very, Malmö is really small and is perfect size for an event like this. So yeah, that's pretty much who we are. We're all about 100% Eurovision. No cover bands, no weird events, nothing. Just Eurovision, Eurovision, Eurovision. You can indulge all your fantasies here.
Rick, it sounds incredible. I just wanted to let you talk because you're a man who knows Eurovision, knows Eurofan Cafe, knows Malmö so well. So it all sounds fantastic and perfect for everybody who's listening to this podcast, because anyone listening to this is a bit of a Eurovision nerd. So Eurovision Fan Cafe sounds perfect. We've already mentioned we're going to be part of it. We're really, really excited. But in the vaguest possible terms, and I know people won't have to wait long to find out some of the stuff that is happening, is there anything that you're... I was going to say, is there anything that you're really excited about that's happening down at Eurofan Cafe? Presumably you're excited about it all.
There's one event which we're repeating from 2013, which was called the biggest Eurovision quiz ever. And what we did was we had an interactive quiz that you could answer about. We had about 25 questions. You answered on your phone. And the technology was so new in 2013, it worked really well up until the end. And we couldn't calculate the winner. It was really annoying. But I think I put all my theater skills into that quiz. So generally what happened is we have a great host. She's a local comedian. Actually, she's famous all over Sweden. She's a Swedish comedian, and she is returning this year. And what she does is she asks like two or three questions. And then, for example, the third question would say something like, okay, who was the winner for in Eurovision in 1999? Was it A, B, C, D? Okay, the correct answer is Paulette Pirelli. And here she is, Paulette Pirelli. And the doors open. And we have a runway, and she's out on she comes back onto the stage. It was insane. We didn't announce any of the artists in 2013. So every artist that comes is a complete surprise. So you never know who's going to appear. The acts are stupendous. I think we're going to have about seven or eight. As of this morning, I booked four of them. And one of them was someone that was like a fan favorite, I think, at the time, and hasn't really been involved with Eurovision since. And not because they didn't want to, they were just kind of never picked up for events. So when I confirmed the booking, I got a really nice message saying, thank you so much for remembering me. I'm so honored to come back and do my Eurovision song again. So it's going to be on the Monday night after the first semifinal rehearsal. And if you've got a ticket to Eurofan Cafe, you don't want to miss this. This is a really big one.
Rick, it sounds unmissable. And as you've already mentioned, full details of what people can expect coming out a little bit later on this week. Very, very exciting. So people should have a look and see that online. And we'll reshare that on our socials as well, which is incredibly exciting. And we'll find out a little bit more on next week's episode as well. We'll find out a little bit more about what people can expect from the programme. But Rick, before I let you go, on the march to Malmö, we have to ask for a Swedish word that will be useful for anyone listening to this who might be coming to Malmö in May. Have you got one for us?
Well, a word that is important to know to really understand how Sweden works is the word lagom. If you're familiar with the word hygge, which is a Danish word, that's the Danish idea of being able to relax and feeling comfortable and not stressed, and you know everything around you is cozy, you know. Lagom is the same concept, and it's really important for Swedes. One of the nice things I discovered when I moved here was, they, in the winter time, it's cold and dark, but you never feel like you never feel that darkness because people are lighting a lot of candles and they're making their homes really cozy with warm colors and really interesting, warm food, and we spend a lot of time together indoors, and everything that Sweden aims for is not usually thrilling or like crazy. The idea is to be lagom, to be even, to feel relaxed. You'll see that when you're in town. There's so many, compared to 2013, so many interesting shops and boutiques and cafes have opened since then. And they generally have that feeling. You're supposed to go in and chill.
I love it, Rick. So just so I've got it right in my head, lagom?
Lagom, that's right.
Lagom. Love it.
But I understand that James has been doing Duolingo for how long? 300 days or something?
Something like that. So maybe he knows the word already.
Maybe he knows it. I don't know. But he's going to be in for a shock when he hears the Malmö accent. It's very deep. He could say something. I don't know if he'll understand them in reply, but he can try.
Oh, well, that's something else to look forward to. Oh, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. Well, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And very, very excited for everything that Eurofan Cafe has in store.
We can't wait to see you here. We're so glad you and the Euro trip are taking part. And I think with fans of book tickets, they're going to be in for a really big surprise when they come here. They're going to be really overwhelmed with what we're programming here.
Brilliant. Oh, well, Rick, thank you so much, and we'll speak soon.
Great. Thanks.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Now then, shall we chat to someone who will be on the stage in Malmö for Eurovision this year? Somebody who has been on the podcast before, of course. Aiko was one of the first artists to be selected for 2024. She won a SEZ back in December. And then we spoke to her on the podcast back in January. Rob, you caught up with her then, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I got to chat to her in person. That was really nice because Aiko lives here in the UK. She popped up to London for a chat with me. We had a lovely time. What did we speak about? I think we spent quite a lot of time about... I think we spent quite a lot of time talking about pizzas, I think.
You did.
Pizza toppings, I seem to remember.
Crisps.
Basically, yeah, food. Crisps. Yeah, basically all things not Eurovision. So hopefully your conversation was a little bit more focused on the matter in hand.
Yes, I caught up with Aiko on Sunday afternoon. It was at 5 p.m. for me, but she was in L.A. For some
with Chris.
Stuff. Wait, oh, maybe Chris saw Aiko.
With listener Chris?
Or if you are an L.A. listener, did you see Aiko out and about in L.A. At the weekend? Well, that's when I spoke to Aiko. And earlier on that day, I'd had the pleasure and the privilege as well to hear the revamp of her song Pedestal. It officially comes out later this week. You'll see the video on Thursday, and then you'll be able to stream it and download it and buy it and whatnot on Friday. But I had an exclusive pre-listen, which was very, very fun. So I try and chat to Aiko all about it without giving too much away. But it's safe to say it's going to be great for you to listen to it when it does indeed come out. But this is what happened when I caught up with Aiko a few days ago. Aiko, welcome back to the Eurotrip. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm good. Thank you. I just woke up about an hour ago.
I should say it's 5 p.m. UK time. So it's not as if you had a lie-in because you are somewhere else where the time zones mean it is still the morning, right?
Yes, yes. So I'm currently in LA and it was about 8:30 a.m. when I woke up. Yeah.
Last time we spoke to you, Rob chatted to you in person. You made a little trip up from Brighton to London. You caught up with him in the studio. And then I think you were off to a dance class. How was the dance class? Are you still keeping them up at the moment?
I mean, yeah, I'm very much still keeping them up at the moment. I think that one I didn't like all that much, to be honest.
Oh, no. Is there some drama? Did you not like it?
Yeah, there was some drama, actually. The girl was really mean to me. Girl dancing next to me, so I didn't go back to that one. But yeah, I still go to dance classes. I go to heels dance classes and pole dancing, very much still in my zone in that.
Very nice. Is it important for you at the moment to like still do the stuff you used to do before Eurovision to try and keep like a sense of normality, because I guess life now isn't as normal as it used to be?
Yeah, you're very right about that. I am trying to still keep some bits of my everyday life before Eurovision because I have to rehearse a lot and do a lot and just, there's just a lot happening. So I do like my like hour a day that is just mine and it's the same as it always used to be.
Well, I think we should get to the big topic in hand at the moment, because a little bit earlier on, I had the pleasure and the privilege of hearing the revamp of Pedestal, which is very, very exciting. So talk us through the revamp process. Like, when did you first decide, okay, I want to do something a bit different with the song?
I mean, we essentially, right when I got the news that Pedestal is going to be in Eurovision, we sort of sat down, we spoke about the length of the song, and there was no pressure in, like, that it has to be revamped, but it was more about, like, hey, if you... like, please go into the studio with your producer, try to come up with something that is going to actually enhance and put more meaning into the song and make it even more empowering in a way. And if you do, great, perfect. That's going to be the revamp. If you don't, that's fine. The song is good as it is.
You never felt any sort of pressure to try and do something different. It was all a very natural process for the revamp.
Very much so. I mean, everyone suggested some ideas. We tried every single one to be like, hey, this works, this doesn't work, and we came up with something that I think works very well.
The best thing about it, well, not the best thing, I don't want to label things as the best thing about the revamp, but we've got more of the song, which is great because the song was a little bit shorter to begin with. Obviously, you do have that full 3 minutes to play with. It's nice to get a bit more in there with the extra length of the song, isn't it?
So do you feel that you got a bit more in there with the thing that's happening there?
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was nice to have, again, I'm trying to be careful without giving too much away, but it's nice to have, I guess, a new element in there. It's nice to have a bit more storytelling in there as well.
Perfect. Okay. That's good to hear.
So was that important for you as well to try and tell more of the story and the meaning behind the song?
Very much so, yes. I think in general, we didn't really want to just add time to the song for it to be longer, but rather actually really use the extra seconds.
And who was working on that with you? You mentioned, I think, your producer, was that right? So was it just the two of you in that studio and just going around ideas with you?
Yeah, just the two of us in the studio, me and Stephen Ansell, who made the song with me. And then we had the Eurovision team on the phone. Sometimes we just hopped on really quick Zoom calls because Stephen is also Brighton-based. And yeah, it was just the two of us in the studio trying to figure out what works best.
Now that it's done, now that it is almost out and everyone will get to hear it very soon, how much pride do you get out of that? Because obviously it was out in the open to begin with and you were getting a great response to it. Now that you've done something different and now you've finally put the tick in the box, how pleased are you with the end result?
I think personally, for me, because I have known the song for a while now, of course, it is a different element for me as well. So it has added a new perspective for me as well while rehearsing it. So it's even more fun for me personally to do. I love the new version and I hope everyone else is going to love it as well.
I'm sure they will. So if they're listening to this on day of release of the podcast, so Wednesday, they only have to wait one more day to hear it in full, which is very, very exciting. Of course, within all of that, you are also preparing for the live performance as well, because that's a huge element of Eurovision. How much can you say about that? When did you start actually rehearsing for that live performance?
I mean, I personally have started in January straight away because I wanted to take the singing, everything very seriously. So I did get a vocal coach to help me with everything, to help me with how to manage the breath, how to manage the big stage, how to do everything. So I started pretty early on. And then we started putting together the idea together with the team from January onwards. And we have started rehearsing about a month ago.
So of course, with the live performance then, I guess one of the main live performances we've seen so far was in ESCZ, the national final. You were there, you had two dancers, a drummer and a guitarist, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that going to be the same for Malmö? What can you tell us about what we will see on the live performance?
I think I can't tell you exactly if it's going to be the same or not, but I think I can tell you that you can expect dancing in the Malmö performance, mine and others on the stage with me. And it's very conceptual. We wanted to tie in with the meaning of the song. We wanted it to really show every aspect of what it can give to you. And I think that's that.
And how important is it then to tell that story of the song through that live performance? Give us a bit more about what the meaning of that song is actually all about. Remind us what it's all about.
What I wanted to do with it is to empower, to make people remember that it's about loving yourself first, and it's about putting yourself first in your life, because at the end of the day, you only have yourself, and it's very important to feel good about yourself, know who you are as a person, and just sort of be comfortable with yourself before you go out and make relationships and do in every aspect of your life, not just romantic.
And in terms of that, the staging of it and the visuals of it, remind us who you're actually working on that with.
For the team, I work with Matias Gorda, who does the lighting, the LED content. He's sort of the creative director of the whole thing. And Vít Bělohradský for the cameras, all the visual aspects of Eurovision that you see. And they've worked in the previous years with Vesna, We Are Domi. I think they have been really good. The shows looked amazing. And I believe that this year will be really good as well.
Yeah, those two performances from the last couple of years looked great and really stood out. So I think you're definitely in safe hands. I think we're going to get a really great performance. and also for you as an artist who, I guess, has never been on a stage as big as that with so many impressive elements before. Like, how daunting is that for you? Or are you just really relishing being able to have this opportunity to perform on a huge stage like this?
I think that's one of the things that I've always wanted in my music career, is to try and actually fulfill the vision of being able to perform on a big stage, because I feel really good on a big stage. That's something that I've always loved. And having the opportunity to have the whole performance really sort of staged out, because I do love a good extra cool performance. So being able to do that, to prepare that with a team, to work with really, really professional people, it's so exciting for me. And I can't wait to actually see the whole thing in Malmo. So I'm just very excited.
Me too. If it makes you feel better as well, I am also very excited to see what it looks like. And I'm sure everybody listening at home is excited to see it too. What else is on the cards then? Of course, you've got the pre-parties, but what else is in Aiko's life between now and Sweden?
Between now and Sweden, of course, a lot of prep, a lot of traveling. I have actually managed to, as Aiko, I will be releasing another single on the 29th of March. So that's an exciting thing for me. And I'm preparing a collab with a very special guest from last year's Eurovision that's going to come out in April.
Can you tell us more?
I think it's confirmed at this point. So I'm going to tell you, we're preparing a collab with Thea, the artist from last year's Austria's entry. And it's an absolute bop, if you ask me. It's a very pop, cool song.
This is very exciting. I'm sure I think both of you might have teased this online over the last few weeks or so. And we spoke to Tia as well a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. So to now know that you and Tia are going to do something together, this is like the ultimate Eurovision collaboration, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's quite funny because me and Tia, we've known each other for 4 years at this point. We've met at the Czech songwriting camp about 4 years ago. And it was a fun reunion in a way that, like, we both got to Eurovision years later and then we collabed.
This is so fun. This is so fun. So remind us, that is out on March the...
So that one is out in April.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we'll mark our calendars for that and look forward to that.
Yes.
And then, of course, the other single out at the end of this month. And then, of course, Eurovision in May. So it's going to be a very busy time. Aiko, before you leave us, let's just have one more word on the song. And I guess your opportunity to speak to everybody listening right now and sort of give them the big sell for the song again and just tell us how important the song is to you and how important it would be for people to listen to it and then I guess vote for you as well in Malmö.
Well, of course it's very important to me that people listen to the song, but I think the most important for me is to take away the feeling of loving yourself, the feeling of putting yourself first, because that's what I wanted to do with the song, and I hope that that's what the listeners feel from it.
Very well said. Aiko, thank you so much for waking up early and joining us here on the Eurotrip. It's great to speak to you. And I'm sure we will speak again soon.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I really, really like Aiko. I think she is very, very nice. She's very fun. And I hope she does well in Malmö, because obviously we've now had a chance to speak to her twice. I know we'll catch up again with Aiko before the contest. And it's always lovely to have her on the podcast and also just get an idea from one of the class of 2024 about what this entire journey is like from the moment that they are announced as representing their entry all the way through to the contest itself. It's just lovely to go on that journey with an artist.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, we had the pleasure of doing that a couple of years ago with We Are Domi, didn't we? Followed their journey basically every month up until Eurovision. So yeah, it's interesting to find out their different approaches to Eurovision and how they manage to give themselves a little bit of a break every now and again to just appreciate a bit of normality, because you don't necessarily get that all the time with being a Eurovision artist.
No, you definitely don't. It's a busy, busy time, as we know. Pre-party season gets underway very, very soon. And we do have another of the class of 2024 joining us on the podcast next week.
Yes, but more about that next week. But first, we're going to wrap up today's episode, as we always do, with the 1 second song.
Right then, this is the chance for James to add 4 points to his slim lead. Current score?
18-16 to me. So I do have a chance to extend it, as you say. Shall we? Shall we hear it?
Yeah, let's do it. So for James and for all of you listening, here is, for the first time, this week's 1 second song.
Oh my blimey. Oh my blimey.
He seems puzzled, everyone.
Tremendously puzzled. I'm going to have it one more time.
All right, well, before we have that, just a reminder, we are after the name of the song, the name of the artist, the country it was performed for, and the year in which it was performed. So, for the second time, for James and all of you listening, here is this week's 1 second song.
Oh, there's a slight bit of vocal at the end, and I don't even recognise it whatsoever.
Oh, I've been nice giving you a bit of vocal as well. I sort of left it running a little bit longer than I should have done.
You have, but I'd be amazed if anybody knows this. Or is it a Eurovision winner? Oh, man.
This is indeed Loreen and Tata. No, it's... I don't think you need two pairs of ears to know that that's... Two pairs of ears? That'd be four ears, technically, wouldn't it? You know what I mean. I don't think you need two ears to know that that's not Loreen and Tattoo.
So what is it? I'm trying to think what we've done today that would make you have picked it. We've done Czechia, bit of Malta, bit of Sweden. Is it a Maltese song? Is it Malta? You've shaken your head.
I know, I shook my head and then I realised that I shouldn't have done. Sorry.
So I'm going to backtrack. Is it Czechia? Oh, God. When were Czechia in it? 2008?
Yeah, they were in it in 2008, yeah.
Oh, but it wasn't that, though. Only because I know you've got to go soon. I'm not going to waste any more of your time and come up with a song title or an artist.
Will you be surprised when I tell you that this week you've got no points? I'm sorry.
Not at all. What a surprise.
No points. That, James, of course, is the entry from Poland in 2004. It's Blue Cafe with Love Song. So there you go, Blue Cafe and Love Song representing Poland in 2004. They came 17th in the grand final, 27 points, 2 points behind the United Kingdom and James Fox with Hold On to Our Love.
Very interesting, but I get no points.
No, which does mean that next week, for the first time, I will have an opportunity to take the lead, depending on how kind you are. And I can't imagine after that you'll be particularly kind.
No, I definitely won't be. Although, forgive me if I've seemed a bit distracted over the last half an hour or so, because I was fact-checking to find out which countries have not opened a grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest. And I do have the list. There are...
Stand by, everyone.
11 countries that are in it this year who have never opened before.
Wow. So go on. What are they? Who are they?
Albania, Armenia, Australia, Denmark, Estonia, Georgia, Greece, Latvia, Moldova, San Marino, and Serbia.
Have never opened the Eurovision Grand Final. There you go. Maybe. Maybe until 2024. Maybe until Malmö.
Well, no, because we already know that Sweden are going to open it, don't we?
Oh, yeah, good point. So, yeah, they won't do it until at least 2025. Yeah, good point. Blue Cafe, by the way. I mean, it's an obvious selection. Got Cafe in the name. And we're, yes, of course, appearing at the Eurofan Cafe in Malmö.
Yes, indeed. You can find out more about that in the notes for today's podcast. But that's it from us for this week. We will be back with you in 7 days' time for a brand new episode of the Eurotrip. In the meantime, don't forget you can keep in touch with us online. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. So you can email us, hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and you can read all of our exclusive stories as well on eurotrippodcast.com. You can buy us a coffee and donate to us over on buymeacoffee.com/EuroTrip Podcast. And as well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.